Well, it's called the order of the work session for February 7th, 2023. Item on the agenda, the first item is council members, section one, vacancy and process. So, hey, Nancy, what's up?
Yeah, this was a surprise, unexpected. I got a job offer. And then at the same time, my brother and his sister, or his girlfriend rather, were working on selling their townhome in Ramsey, and we were looking through Zillow, and bam, this house shows up, and we looked at it, and Walt fell in love, and that just happened at the same time. So very sudden and not planned at all. But
yeah, that reminds me of my father. Every time we looked at, he looked at a house, we moved.
So it is closer to my new job, closer to family, and good. You know, just it was the right thing, and yeah. As hard as it is to leave after 27 years here.
Yeah. Okay. So did we have, we wanted to talk about process, or am I handling all that? Doesn't matter. Looks like you want to hit it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As noted, Councilmember LaRoche is resigning. And so the task before the council is to declare, accept the resignation that's on the regular meeting agenda, and then declare vacancy. The charter does not have a time frame for when an appointment should be made, but because there's less than 2 years, the appointment that the council will make will be for the remainder of the term. A special election is not required. And so then that seat will be filled normally with the 2024 election. So the questions that we need to go over with the work session is the process and if there's any changes to the application packet. I'd sent out in the packet two alternative timelines. The first one would make the appointment as pretty much as soon as feasible. The alternative timeline would give an additional almost 2 weeks of application reception time. The concern would be that there may not, depending on how many applications for candidates the city receives, this would give the public more time. But the actual appointment process would only be delayed about 1 week. I did add just at the dais seats tonight, a visual representation of the calendar of the two options, A and B. A was the kind of as soon as practical. And then the alternative B is the additional 2 weeks of application time, but it only moves the appointment 1 week. The first question for the council would be which time frame the council wants to adopt for the process to solicit applications and then conduct the interviews and make the appointment. One other note, staff was notified, I believe most of the council knows, Councilmember Idbo will be in New Zealand for 3 weeks in February going into March. So that is noted on there in the visual calendar, where it's CM Idbo and Z.
He can zoom in, I assume, right, from New Zealand, correct?
I don't think so, because nobody could go there. Wouldn't you have
out
to?
Of country.
Oh, yeah.
Doctor's note, I think.
I mean, wouldn't you need to be at a place where a public could
yeah,
go?
Yeah, I could review the applications, but I don't believe I could participate in any of the actual
voting
things. All right.
Yeah.
You want to comment on that?
Mr. Mayor, yeah. Interestingly, the statute doesn't talk about any sort of where you're at. It just has to be open to the public. So I don't know where you'll be at, but if you're at a place that might be open to the public, the reality is in all my years, I've never known anyone to actually attend a meeting right. Where the remote person is. It just has to be open to the public. So I frankly, off the top of my head, I don't know why you couldn't. Although timeline, I don't know if that's 2 o'clock in the morning for you or what. So.
Yeah, I don't feel like it'd be in the spirit of the law, at least to me. You know, it's like, oh, I'm in an open park in New Zealand. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
Uh, Well, if you wanted to, you could. You. So anybody, does any of these strike you as more positive, more negative? Do you have any questions on either of these?
Well, I, if I may.
Yeah, please go ahead.
I prefer calendar B, not just because obviously it'd be easier for me to participate, but also, I mean, looking at the most recent filings for office and kind of like the interest in city council in this last election cycle, it struck me as lower versus some of our neighboring cities. And I think that with knowing that and knowing how quickly everything's going, it would make sense to extend the application period 2 weeks to get as many candidates as possible to do that recruitment so that people have ample time to review the application materials, make the decision whether or not they want to. It's a 2-year commitment. It's quite a commitment for somebody to decide. So I'm certainly in favor of calendar B, especially since it only extends it 1 week.
You've had experience with appointments like this before, haven't you?
I have in some of my past positions, yes.
And what did that look like as far as applications?
It was limited. When I was in Lake Elmo, the city received about, if I recall correctly, 7 or 8 applications. The council conducted interviews of all the applicants. I know that some of the larger cities that have, St. Louis Park just went through a recent vacancy and appointment, and I believe they had over 20, 25 applications. I don't envision that here, especially after discussing with staff. I really don't have any gauge as to how many you would get, but probably somewhere between 5 and 10 would be my high estimate.
Okay. Anybody else? I noted on option A that there was an opportunity to actually get somebody appointed and have orientation before the first council meeting. So we would have somebody who's orientated and we would have nobody would skip a beat at that point in time. I would say that would be an advantage of
option A.
Other than that, I didn't see a whole lot of difference. Nancy.
I'm not in any way telling y'all what to do, but I just wondered on the calendars here, we don't have our council meetings, date, but we usually know it's first and third Tuesday of the month with a work session mixed in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, so March would be the 7th and the 7th and the 21st, right?
That is correct. And one thing just to note.
It's not A, right?
Here, go ahead.
One thing just to note, I did put on some of the other kind of topics that are, are referenced. And one of the questions at the council is when council wants to conduct the interviews. We're looking to have that interview date set tonight, or at least a consensus agreed upon, so we can post that information schedule the interviews. We have concrete information to give the applicants. I don't know if the council wanted to set there's a couple different options. It could be done that depending on which time frame or which timeline the council would prefer. It could be done. I proposed it in the work session after the regular meeting. Again, if we have in that 5 to 8 applicants that I would estimate. 5-10 minutes each applicant for the interview. I wouldn't imagine there'd need to be that they would need to be that long, unless there were some really pressing questions that the council had outside of the general questions. And so it could be done that, or it could be done at a standalone that workshop in March. The work session in March.
Mm-hmm. So we also done the second option, also that one will necessitate a special meeting, correct? And the first one we can put on already scheduled work sessions. Is that correct?
No, neither of them would require a separate work session. Okay. If the council were to, the real timing question is when the actual appointment is made, how much deliberation the council would want to have ahead of time. Obviously, there's no action being taken outside of a special meeting or a regular meeting, but that process, I haven't had a chance to discuss it with the council. If you want to make the appointment at the same time and have the new council member take office, be sworn in, receive their certificate in the same evening, we would either invite everybody back and they'd learn live when the council makes the appointment, or if the council wanted to, we could convert add on a special meeting portion at that work session that the interviews are done at on the 9th, and then still make the appointment at the next meeting with the formality and have the council member take office then.
You're talking about the 21st is when we would vote on that day and right. Then announce? Okay.
That's option A. B or A?
That's for A.
And then B is pushed back a week, and so we'd actually
do it.
Push it back 2 weeks.
And when would they start if option B, if they voted, made it the appointment on the 4th, would they start at the next council meeting?
They could start as soon as the council appoints them. If part of the question is, if we have 5 candidates, do they all come to the meeting that the appointment's made, not knowing if they're going to be the selected candidate? So if the council were to discuss that and come to a consensus over, we invite all 5.
It could be harsh.
Hypothetically.
I think so too.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, and also people.
That wouldn't be my
change. You want to extend the offer before you actually like.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Like you want to make sure that there's still people change their minds sometimes in the application process.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. I think that's harsh. I agree with that.
I think that's not the recommended.
Yeah.
So that would be B to avoid that, right? Yeah.
We should know ahead of time who the person would be, kind of like almost like the election. We have an idea, and then obviously for that meeting, they'd be sworn in. And obviously the voting is just a formality, I think, right? At that
Pretty
point,
much at that, yeah.
You can publicize. There's no reason why you couldn't say, well, we've selected this person, but they're going to officially be sworn in on and voted on this day.
So I have to admit, I lost the thread a little bit. Where would you be deciding? I mean, because obviously you have to decide this at a meeting. Mm-hmm. At a regular council meeting. So if you make the appointment, then the clerk would issue a certificate of appointment. So that's the official, you've been appointed to this position, and they could take the oath of office, and then they can sit at the next meeting. So after your meeting you appoint at the meeting, then certainly you would notify the person. I mean, it's a public meeting. So I don't know if I'm answering you.
I guess it... So if we're deliberating in a meeting and we're all in agreement that we want candidate A or whatever to be appointed, can we ask them if they want to be appointed before actually issuing them a certificate, like kind of like a tentative job offer in a way?
Usually you don't do it that way. You issue the certificate and then they can refuse, the office, you could, if you're talking like at a work session, you reach consensus. Then notify them, and then with the idea that maybe they show up at the meeting, and then you can appoint them and sit at that meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's sure. Okay. So that's okay.
So we could add a work session before the 4th of April if we went with B. Is that what we're saying? Because the 4th would be the meeting, right? And the work session before that would be the 9th of March. Is there another work session after that?
Is this for calendar?
For B.
For B. We would have to put in a special meeting there.
Unless we change.
Okay.
No, you go ahead.
Thanks. Unless we move the candidate application date just before the 9th, does that give us anything? That doesn't give us anything. That puts us right back into A. Never mind. Did you have something?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, if we did, if we extended the work session, it really depends on how many candidates we get, I guess, also, because if we have a ton of interviews.
Mm-hmm. Could we just do the work session before the meeting? But then we, I guess, we wouldn't, yeah, as far as letting them know.
I have a couple questions. Are we going to interview everyone who applies, or is there some screening process?
If we get 20, we're not applying. We're not screening everybody.
Okay.
I would think that maybe we would have
finalists.
Okay, then how does the decision get made as to who passes to the finalist level or interview level?
Okay, first thing that comes to mind would be some applications aren't going to be filled out as thorough and might be missing some information. Maybe, I don't know.
But is that a discussion among the council of who we actually are choosing? Let's say we have 20 applicants, for instance. Do we decide as a group?
You know, I think that would probably be best. But I think we can whittle it down pretty fast.
I hope so, because the idea of 20 is pretty daunting.
Yeah.
Like Wilmington and St. Louis Park, they have over 20, right?
But hopefully there are 20. I hope there's that much community interest in a way.
That would be something else. I wouldn't be surprised if it's higher than what works. What? Mm-hmm. 7. I think it's going to be higher.
Think so.
I do.
So what would be the threshold of people we want to interview? 5? 4?
I would say at 8 or under.
I'm good with 8 or under.
It feels to me like we need to come up with a third option.
A third, meaning in terms of meeting or what?
In terms of getting it to work so that we're not coming to a work session just before we're making the appointment.
Yeah.
It looks to me like both of these are bringing us into that funnel.
Well,
is that accurate?
Could add a work session.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
Just how about if we had a work session
on the 23rd?
Like March 14th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
23rd or whatever.
March 14th.
Because, Forrest, you're going to be back in the country, right?
Assuming that everything goes well on the flights, yes, I will be back.
You're going to bring a cot in or something? Yeah.
So 314 is a what?
Well, we could do it maybe 316.
Tuesday? No, we're not going to do Wednesday if we can help it.
So, no, 16. Well, the Charter Commission.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Could we meet then?
Can we meet on the 16th?
According to B, there is a work session on March 21st where we do the interviews, it looks like.
But what if we need to decide who to interview?
Yeah.
What if we have 20 applications?
I like the idea, if we can do a work session on the 16th, and then that is where we whittle down to the top 5 or 8 or what have you. And then on the 21st, we conduct the interviews. And I mean, we could deliberate after the interviews and then offer kind of have that finalist in mind, extend it, and then make the appointment on the 4th, the next week or 2 weeks later.
Missing a step, aren't we? It's almost like we need 2 meetings in there if there is 20 or if we have excess of 8.
Well, isn't that what would be the 16th? The special work session on the 16th would be where we would be whittling down to the 8.
Okay, so yeah. Then when's the...
And then the interviews on the
21st. But then wouldn't we have to do another work session to offer it? Or how do we do that?
No.
That? Like, I mean, if we want 2 weeks to go by between our last work session and the actual meeting?
Well, I would think on the 21st after the interviews, we'd have a period of time where we could deliberate about the interviews that just happened.
On the
21st, correct. And then we would have a finalist in mind, and then staff could submit like a letter saying, hey, you know, you're the one that council wants.
I caught up, and I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Who's on charter?
I am. We will be not around by then.
Interviews happen on March 21st. Do I understand that correctly? Okay. Thank you.
But Adam, you'll be at the charter meeting, and sometimes Troy, you're there as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Let's do the 14th. Is that okay, guys?
14th?
Yep.
Not the 16th?
Let's do the 14th. Less conflict there. It looks wide open on this calendar. All right, let's go
find the 14th. Yeah.
Cool. Are you okay with that, Forrest?
Yeah, I'll be fine. I come back early in the morning on the 14th, so as long as it should be fine.
Jet lag won't kick in.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coffee. Yeah. Well, the thing is with that is I'll have already reviewed the applications at that point, so it's.
You need something to read on those long flights.
Yeah.
All right.
Got that. Just to be clear, the 14th is a special meeting to. What's the purpose?
The purpose is to eliminate applications if it's above eight.
And
if it's not above eight, we cancel it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nancy.
Just a question or a comment too. When I was submitting my resignation, talking with Adam, we had talked about process, about how do you apply? And the city of Rosemount has it on their website still because they had an open seat and vacancy, and it was a questionnaire. So everyone got the same questions that they could answer online, giving you guys something to review. So I know that you guys will work through that as well. But they had some great questions on there.
All right. We saw an example of what the questions were. That was during...
Yeah, the application packet for previous vacancies here in Crystal was included in the packet. That was if there's any additional questions or any other information the council wants to solicit in the application.
Would anybody have any additional questions for that?
Are we also going to be I don't remember seeing this. Are we going to be requesting like just a normal resume as well, or just the questions themselves?
This should be enough, though.
Okay.
I mean, there's someone. I mean, my experience, this application has been more than adequate for the position. So, have them also complete this and put together a resume might be a bit daunting.
Mm-hmm. So, that's a good point.
I think just questionnaire. Yeah.
No additions?
Audition tape. Video interview.
Adam's not a fan.
Adam, you had to go through that.
It worked.
That's right. All right. So we'll stick with what we have that staff provided. We're going to add the special meeting if it's 5-8 applicants. Otherwise, we interview all 8 at the option B. Time slot. All right. That's it for this work session. Thank you, guys.
And then also, if you could, on the pink calendar, if you can update that to make sure it has those dates as well.
Yes.
Perfect.
So we added a date in March.
We can correct the Charter Commission that's not going to be taking place on February 16th. That's moved to March. Yeah. That'll be corrected.
I thought they met on Mondays. Never mind. I'm confused. Sorry.
Different commissions.
Yeah. Sorry. Charter and planning. Yeah. Get the commission there.
So applications will open tomorrow.
That is correct.
Excellent.
And I'm assuming it's a application online that they can type whatever, a typable PDF or something, right? Or do they have
just submit it electronically online, right?
Either.
Yeah. Okay. They do both.
Multiple. They can either call and get a paper copy.
Oh, nice.
Stop in or they'll get it electronic.
Okay, great. Thank you.
What if I fill out the application for them? Would that be wrong? No.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Okay, I'll take that as a yes.
Great. Are we? You. All right, at this time, I'd like to call the Crystal Council meeting to order. Let's start with roll call.
Councilmember Cummings.
Here.
Councilmember Eidbol.
Here.
Councilmember Kamish.
Here.
Councilmember Kaiser.
Here.
Councilmember LaRoche.
Here.
Mayor Adams.
Here.
Councilmember Budashevsky.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first we're going to go with an approval of the agenda. Can I get a motion on the approval of the agenda? Go ahead, Nancy.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Looking for a second.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. We have a proclamation for today, and that is Black History Month. I'll read that into the record at this time. Black History Month for February 2023. Whereas the City of Crystal is committed to recognizing and honoring all members of our community, and one of the City Council's priorities is that Crystal be a city in which all feel welcomed, and whereas across the United States, this February, millions of Americans are joining together to celebrate the accomplishments and lasting impacts of our country's Black leaders, citizens, and people. And whereas in this month-long national celebration, we applaud the contributions of the Black community to build lasting change for generations to come. And whereas the City of Crystal's recent establishment of the Inclusion and Diversity Commission will help further the goal of identifying ways to eliminate barriers and promote safe, welcoming, inclusive, and diverse communities. And whereas the City of Crystal Council invites all members of the community to commit to understanding justice, freedom for all. Now, therefore, I, Jim Adams, Mayor of Crystal, do hereby proclaim February 2023 as Black History Month in the City of Crystal, dated the 7th day of February 2023. Thank you. Thanks for help with that. Do we have a consent agenda before us? I'll read that into the record. Consent agenda is first the approval of the minutes from the regular work session on January 12, 2023, work session from that same date, regular council meeting on January 7, 2023. And next item is the approval of the list of license applications submitted by the city clerk to the city council. That list is on file in the city clerk's office. And then adoption of a resolution accepting donations. And the final item is approval of joint powers agreement with the City of Maple Grove under the PUPS, Pets Under Police Security Board. I would like to pull 4-4 off of this agenda just because it has a dollar amount attached to it if we approve it. So we'll just handle that first item before the regular agenda. So with that pulled, I'm looking for a motion to approve the rest of that consent agenda. Go ahead, Tracy.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you. Looking for a second.
I'll second.
Thanks, Therese. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Next, we have open forum. This is an opportunity for the public to speak to the council. Is there anybody wishing to speak during open forum? Seeing nobody approaching, we will skip by open forum for today and right into the regular agenda. And the first item on the agenda at this point is the consent item agenda number 4.4. And just pulling that off kind of as a process because there is that $25,000 piece. I found that on page 4. It's item G and wanted to give you guys an opportunity to make sure that you understand this particular item clearly. I don't know if there are any questions or not, but you're welcome to come forward and speak on it.
But it's a little over 11% of 25,000, right?
Is that correct?
That is correct.
It's still money.
It is. I shouldn't have put it under the regular or the consent agenda. I should have put it under the regular. So I apologize about that. You want me to talk about it now?
Sure. If you're,
absolutely. So, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as you know, we use pets under police security, for which AKA pups, for our needs for animal control. We've utilized this service for the last several years, the 26 years I've been employed here with the city. So it's been a long time. And as the mayor pointed out, there is some cost with that. And they currently drafted, and with a lot of Deputy Chief Hubbard's help, the new joint powers agreement. And so we're just looking for approval from you for that agreement.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Go ahead, Nancy.
I just want, who makes up the board? I see composition. It's consisting one board member from each member city. Is it normally an officer or a rep, like a chief?
It depends on the city. So for our city, Deputy Chief Hubbard is the primary person. I am his secondary. But mostly it's comprised, it depends on the city. Some cities do have their chief, some has a lieutenant, some has their animal control person. It just depends on the city.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none. How about a motion? Anyone?
I'll make a motion to approve for pups.
All right.
I don't have an official thing to read. So just making a motion for approval of the JPA for pups.
Awesome. Looking for a second. Go ahead, Tracy.
I'll second.
All right. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Thank you. Thanks, Chief. Regular agenda first item on that is the distributions of $25,000 or greater. First item is the IRS electronic refunded transfers paying system. I think that's not quite right. It's close. For the federal and FICA withholding tax for 1/6/23 paydate, $59,166. Health Partners for January health insurance premiums is $127,723. Met Council for wastewater service for February is $138,936. Shingle Creek for the annual dues of 2023 is $29,973. Flexible Pipe Tool Company for replacement of vehicle number 403 for the Jetter truck is $273,750. League of Minnesota Cities, 2023 workers' compensation for quarter one is $155,136. Interium Inc. for City Hall remodeling project is $193,217. Minpair for employee city required contributions for pay date 1/20/23 is $68,381. And then the IRS for electronic payments for federal and FICA withholding taxes for payday 1/20/2023 is $66,234. Total disbursements of $25,000 or greater are $1,112,520.81. Are there any questions on any of these items for the council? Seeing no question, I'll entertain a motion. Therese?
I'll make a motion to approve expenditures over $25,000.
Awesome. Go ahead, John.
I second that motion.
All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Next, we have our police chief here to address us again for domestic violence advocacy. So welcome, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I apologize. You're going to see me a couple more times tonight, which I'm sure you're really looking forward to. So the first agenda item that you have before you is regarding Cornerstone, regarding an approval for a contract with Tubman. For the last several years, we have had Cornerstone as our advocacy service. And we've also had an embedded advocate within our organization. Last year during budget discussions, we spoke to you about the fact that we wanted that service enhanced, meaning more of a impact for our victims of domestic assault, meaning we wanted that person here full time. Thankfully, you approved that. During the last year or so, we've just noticed a little bit of a decline in services from Cornerstone. And so we were doing some research
and spoke to Tubman and their services and have decided that they have quite a bit more services that we liked for our victims of domestic assault and have decided to go that direction. Currently, the contract is for $57,500. The budgeted amount for this year was $60,000. So it is under budget. So we're looking for approval.
All right. Thanks, Chief. Any questions for Chief on this? Nancy, go ahead.
Are there specific or examples of some of the services that Cornerstone couldn't provide?
Yeah. So the biggest one that Tubman provides that Cornerstone doesn't is they have full-time attorneys that are on staff to assist with order for protections. And that's a huge asset. Yeah. It's also a huge asset for a victim of domestic assault to be able to have that one-on-one connection with an attorney for just any questions related to domestic assault. So that was a big selling point for us. Another piece is they have an emergency shelter that will be available for our victims when needed. Cornerstone had that as well, but we have noticed that with Cornerstone, oftentimes the beds were unfortunately just unavailable. And then they have a 24/7 crisis line available for victims and for our staff officers to be able to contact them.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Great question. Thank you. Anything else from council? All right. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion. Nancy.
I'll make a motion to approve a contract with Tubman for domestic violence advocacy.
All right, look for a second. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. And next item is the Joint Community Police Partnership Program. Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As you know, since 2017, we have been a part of the Joint Community Police Partnership Program with Hennepin County and several other cities within the county. Last year, I approached the cities of New Hope and Robbinsdale, telling them that they should consider going with this program because it has benefited us so much with regards to our diverse community. And the liaison that we've had over the last year has been absolutely fantastic. Not to say that the other liaisons that we had back since 2017 haven't been good, but NECA, who I'm hoping to bring before you so that you can meet her, has been outstanding. With that said, the cities of New Hope and Robbinsdale had decided to obtain and go through the Hennepin County Commissioners to obtain a liaison for their communities. However, we determined that our city as well could share two liaisons within three cities, which benefits us financially for about a $5,700 a year savings. It will be, just so you know, it will be most likely looked at within 6 months to a year or so to see if those two cities possibly may need to get their own, just like the mental health social worker. But this will at least get them in the door to be able to evaluate and see what their needs are further. So I'm asking for approval for the JCPP contract for 2023.
All right. Any questions on that one? Yeah, go ahead.
Would NECA stay with us, or would she be one that would go amongst the
Yeah, guys? great question. So ironically, Deputy Chief Hubbard and myself are having a meeting tomorrow with the other chiefs and with NECA and her two bosses from Hennepin County. NECA will stay here primarily, and then she will assist the other liaison with different needs for those communities, but she will primarily be our liaison. Yes.
Will there be any periods of time where, like right now we have our own, so we have 100% of it.
Yeah.
Is there going to be any areas where we're not going to have that coverage? Or?
No, she'll always be available. She may not be on site here, you know, on the 5 days a week, but majority is that she's going to be after the discussion after tomorrow.
All right, very good. Looking for a motion, John?
Make a motion to approve a contract with Hennepin County for a joint community police partnership program.
All right, looking for a second. Gracie?
I'll second.
All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Next, we will talk about the JPA with Hennepin County's, and this one is the Juvenile Probation Client Delinquent Prevention Initiative. Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, once again. So since 2020, you, those of you who are on the council may have remembered that we approached you regarding this great partnership of a juvenile diversion program with Hennepin County and a few other cities. Deputy Chief Hubbard has been a part of this committee, and the good news is it's been going very well, so well that they have decided that to continue with the grant money. It does not cost our city anything. It's not a match grant or anything like that. We just obtain the funds to be able to participate. And so we're just looking for approval for you regarding this contract.
So this is, the private organization is?
YMCA.
YMCA, and yep. They're running the diversion program?
Correct, with our cities, yep.
Wow, didn't know they did that. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like?
Yep, I'm going to have Deputy Chief Hubbard come up because he's the expert. So
yeah, I'm just...
Never been called.
Getting right. Recorded.
All right, expert.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So the pilot program that we started a couple years ago came from some of the juvenile officers working in the Northwest Metro. And to call it a delinquency program, I think, is probably a little bit of a misnomer because that gives you a grandiose plan. This program is really targeting runaways, and specifically first and second time runaways, with the idea being that this is a moment in time where we can capture them and hopefully intervene early on to get them into some services to figure out why are they running away? What is the causal effect here? What supports do they need in the household and the family to help them continue on? So that really is the crux of what we're doing. And so that initial pilot was with the YMCA, who does a vast amount of work in the area of delinquency, homelessness for juveniles, et cetera. And after getting through the pilot program, figuring out what worked, what didn't work, et cetera. Now we've expanded and the county has come forward with some money to help. And so really what it is the city's responsibility is to make referral of students. So if we have contact with a student after curfew or a parent calls as in a runaway situation, which we get a lot of those calls, we offer this program up on a voluntary basis, both for the juvenile and for the parent to be able to partake in this. It is a multi-session, I'm going to say six sessions, that they will meet with a youth worker and some group work, some individual work, some family work as it may pertain. And then as a part of that, each of the partner cities will also offer up a staff member to come and interact at different times with the young people to make sure that their interaction with law enforcement is a positive one. So I'm summarizing a mouthful of lots of conceptual conversations into a condensed moment, but that's the high level gist of the program. Yeah.
So I'm guessing there's quite a few services embedded inside of what the YMCA does.
Well, the YMCA has got a vast amount of wraparound services. I have the honor of sitting on the Youth and Family Services Board for the Y of the Twin Cities, and okay. It's a massive operation. So although this program is very targeted, one of the reasons that they're a good partner is that if we figure out that we've got a homelessness issue, we've got some other kind of a delinquency or an actual probationary kind of deal, they have services that they can also wrap them into with that.
So is the structure similar to other Hennepin County diversion stuff where they make the contract with YMCA and we are the beneficiaries of it, or are we actually contracting with them?
The city of Brooklyn Park is the lead agency. And so Brooklyn Park is going to be the ones that will administer the grant through the YMCA with a steering committee that is representative of all of the cities. So the grant is being allocated to Brooklyn Park. Brooklyn Park will disperse the funds according to the contract with no take off the top, but so that there is a government entity that is holding those funds to make sure that the services are provided.
Okay. Cool. Very cool. All right. Thank you. Any other questions?
No.
All right. Great. Appreciate it. Looking for a motion on this one.
I'll make a motion.
Go ahead, John. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve a joint powers agreement with Hennepin County and the cities of Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, New Hope, Robbinsdale, and Crystal, right? And ourselves, right? For the juvenile probation client delinquency prevention initiative.
All right. Thank you.
It's a lot.
Huh? I'll second that.
Thank you. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Mark Ray is here. He's our public works director, and he is going to talk about new windows and doors.
Super exciting.
Yes.
Slideshow.
I'm excited for that slide.
Go ahead.
Good evening, council. So this is a super exciting thing. Unfortunately, the surprise is getting ruined. John, no pressure. The long-term plan allocates funding for work at the south lift station. So last year we did a variety of stuff, replacing, moving a generator outside, replacing a pump. Now that the stuff that can damage doors and windows is done, we're going to follow that up with replacement of the doors and windows, which is before you now. The one remaining item we have out there is actually just replacement of the floor on that first floor there. The original doors, or the doors are original, the building, 1950s. So the goal, quite frankly, is to make it not look so much like a bunker. So the low quote there was $47,000. This is a photo of two of the sides of the building now. You see that cinder block wall, that's going to get bricked in, so it'll look like, you know, the rest of the building. You see that metal grate over the window on the right, that'll be going away. So yeah, here's a before picture. This is not quite the after picture. So with that, the motion before he was authorizing a replacement for the windows and doors replacement.
I'm surprised you didn't have the dinosaur in there.
Yeah, on top.
There was a way more spot than there should have been put into that last graphic.
have him large over the top of the castle. Right. I got it. So now that the interior work is done, which could have damaged the doors.
Because so
it could have.
They literally have to go through the door with a generator and to pull it out, and then the pump replacement.
Yeah.
The door is actually an oversized door, and we have a crane that's set up, so they slide it through the door and then drop it. Because that building, what you don't realize is you walk in there, it's 30 feet down to the pump. And so you go in there and they have to lift all the stairs all the way to lower the pump down. And so so they had to pull out the old generator, used to be inside of the building, so it get pulled out, and then the new pumps had to be put in and dropped down. So
wow,
I'll be a little intentional about sequencing here.
Okay.
So the generator is on the outside of the building.
It's on the south side of the building. Okay. Correct. Yep.
And this is at Bassett Creek, correct?
Correct.
That building there. And the question I had too is, municipal builders is quite a bit lower than Magny Construction. And have you worked with municipal before?
So I believe that actually we worked with Brad on contractors he's worked with for doors and stuff. And so that's where we got connected with these two. I'm not sure the exact reason for the price because the materials are the same. I would assume it's just a workflow thing on their end.
Thanks.
That makes sense. Any other questions? Seeing none, looking for a motion. Nancy.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution to authorize a contract for the replacement of doors and windows at the South Lift Station.
All right. Thank you. Looking for a second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Tracy.
Tracy. You said Therese.
I said Tracy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mumbled it.
You did.
It was very bad, but I did it right.
I heard Tracy, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll try to be more clear, but you guys are killing me on that one. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries.
Right.
All right. Next, we have John Elholm here, to our recreation director here, to talk to us today about the play area at Broadway Park. Welcome, John.
Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm here tonight with a variety of different projects to bring before you. The first of which is a new play area at Broadway Park. The current play area was built in 1999 and is in poor condition. This was built in 1999, poor condition. It is in the budget for replacing this year. It is a popular place for ground wasps to nest, so that's we're hoping that'll go away as part of this project too. A lot of public engagement on this. We brought playground plans out to our neighborhood meeting there last August. Online survey, we had those top two playgrounds were out there and giving people an opportunity to weigh in on those. The one on the upper left was chosen, but then with some modifications. So the one in the middle is the one that kind of came out of that process. Looked at, had kids selecting colors at Winterfest with stickers on the playgrounds. And then the Park and Rec Commission has been reviewing this project every month. So the playground in the park, currently it is in the far southeast corner. And the plan is to move it more central to the park so that it's more adjacent to the open space, isn't quite so close to the roads, and should be a much nicer location for that. The budget for this, we do have funds in our parks fund, $185,000. We also have CDBG funds, thanks to John Sutter and a grant that we got through them. And then the project cost for the playground is $112,849 for the equipment and $72,596 for the installation. So they have a joint partnership through the state contract where we can purchase that. And then there are some other costs coming, like the concrete border and some of the other things. So the recommendation tonight is to approve a resolution entering into an agreement with Landscape Structure, Inc. in the amount of $112,849 to supply the play area equipment, and Flagship Recreation in the amount of $72,596 to install the play area equipment, both of which are in Broadway Park.
So on this particular item, we'll end up going over budget by the time we're done with the concrete. And I forgot what the fourth item was. Is that correct?
No, we have our capital budget plus a grant, so there actually will be, we will not, we should not be under budget, we should not be over budget.
I just added the numbers and said, hey, that's bigger than the budget amount. There we go. All right, thank you.
We're thankful for grants like that.
Yeah, no kidding. Horace, go ahead.
Quick question on the illustration where you're moving the park. I remember at the August meeting, there were discussions about the fence. Is the fence going to be extended further now that the playground is?
The playground should be quite a ways off the road, and there would be a trail between it and the playground. So the, I don't anticipate extending the fence.
Okay, sounds good.
Question.
Go ahead, Nancy.
John, you mentioned earlier the ground wasp problem. What is solving that? Is it the moving and the materials for the play area for the foot in the ground?
Yeah, there's a lot of that playground's been in there a long time, and there's a lot of stuff in the ground. So just putting wood chips in over the years.
Yeah.
So starting fresh will help with that.
Nice. Thank you.
All right. No more questions. Looking for a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thanks, John.
It's my son's favorite park, so I'm all over this one. I make a motion to adopt a resolution in support of a play area replacement in Broadway Park.
All right. Thank you. Looking for a second? David?
I'll second that.
All right. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. All right. Next is picnic shelter for Broadway and Crystal Highlands Park. John.
All right. In this year's 2023 budget, we also have two picnic shelters, one for Broadway Park, one for Crystal Highlands Park. You may recall both of these parks at one time had a warming house, and those were both removed, I believe, in 2017. One of them might have been early 2018. But anyway, that the picture is of the Broadway warming house getting removed. But we went through the same public engagement process with this. We had a neighborhood meeting at Crystal Highlands in July, Broadway Park in August. Online information was out there all fall and into the winter. Public open house in October. And then the Park and Rec Commission has been involved in reviewing the plans as they were developed. So the plan is to, the picture here is of Bass Lake Park. So we are looking at installing basically the same shelter at Broadway and Crystal Highlands Parks. So the location here at Broadway Park is a little bit closer to 59th Avenue. recognizing people when they picnic, they are usually carrying coolers and things like that. So we want it to be somewhat close to the road. And then at Crystal Highlands Park, it's fairly close to Jersey Circle for the kind of the same purposes. Basketball court's roughly in the same spot, and then also allows for some open space in that park. So the capital budget for this is each park has $80,000 for a picnic shelter, $160,000 total. The shelter cost is $33,374 each for $66,748 total. And the thing we have going on with these two parks is Broadway Park, because we have federal funds involved, we do pay prevailing wages on the installation of both the playground and the picnic shelter. So you see the two different costs for installation there, and that is due to the prevailing wage rates. And then there will be some additional concrete for the pad, for the posts and tables, grills, things like that, also coming out of this budget. So with that, recommendation is to enter into a resolution or resolution entering into an agreement with Northland Recreation in the total amount of $66,748. To provide 120 by 20 picnic shelter each in Broadway and Crystal Highlands Parks.
All right. Question, go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you. I love the design of that shelter and that you can incorporate our logo in that circular part too. That's really cool. Just wondered, materials wise, and you said you've got one, a similar one up at Bass Lake
yes.
Park.
Mm-hmm.
How is that holding up? And I know it's
very well.
New, but it's.
Yeah, it's metal post, metal roof.
Yeah.
So. 9 foot eave, so you know you can't touch it real easily or get onto it really easily.
Very nice. Can't skateboard on
it. Pay attention. When we look at things like shelters.
Okay, great. It looks great.
Who would climb on the roof? I mean, come on.
We can get up.
Not related to the shelter, but related to the park project on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
When will that be this year too?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
On both of those two parks.
So are those flat? I mean, okay, let me back up. Maybe I should be asking a different question. Are we replacing the
blacktop? Yes.
The blacktop? So we'll regrade it and make sure it's remaining flat.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next part of these redevelopment projects is the sidewalks or trails, all the concrete curbs, curb okay. cuts,
yeah,
things like that. And then the basketball court is part of that. We've actually already ordered the hoops.
Okay,
so cool. They're on order. They'll probably... I don't know when they'll come in, but
will that come before us or is that
The basketball hoops didn't, but all the paving will. Yes.
Okay. All right. Only reason I'm bringing that up is when we do a resurfacing, that doesn't change the grade at all. And sometimes we have over time or either by design, some slopage that may or may not be desired for some of these courts. And we've experienced that at Becker. So I just wanted to make sure we weren't missing the boat on that.
Yeah. So like it, Yonkers and actually Bass Lake too. We redid the basketball courts in both of those. And actually our Mark's crew did a great job repaving those.
Excellent. Excellent. Good. All right. Any other questions on the shelter? Looking for a motion. John, go ahead.
Make a motion to approve a resolution in support of purchasing 20 by 20 picnic shelters for Broadway Park and Crystal Highlands Park.
All right. Nancy, do you second?
Yes, please.
All right. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries.
Oh, God.
Okay. Bassett Creek Park. John is here to talk about the pedestrian bridge. How's it going?
It's like the never ending.
This one's like, oh, seriously.
Can't wait.
Oh, there we go. All right. Now we'll head over to Bassett Creek Park. And this is one we've talked a lot about, both of these projects, for quite a long time. So what we've done here is we combined two projects into one and went out for bid on them. So it's a Bassett Creek Park improvements. This includes the pedestrian bridge abutments. You may recall the truss has already been ordered, and then the dog park. So looking at the master plan map back from 2017, the dog park is up there in the northwest corner. The pedestrian bridge is pretty much right in the middle of the park. So that's the location of those. The capital budget from the Parks Fund for this is $700,000. The bridge, the cost seems to keep wanting to go up on this. So, but we have found some savings in some other projects of $300,000 to bring our available funds to $1 million. We have spent about $183,000 so far on design costs, tree removal, bidding, down payment on the truss bridge, things like that. Construction estimate was $504,000, and they did come in a little bit high. But Odessa 2 is the low bid at $558,007. And then we would have some professional services for construction management on the project as well. So the recommendation is to approve a resolution entering into agreement with Odessa 2 in the amount of $558,007 to install a pedestrian bridge and dog park and SRF consulting in the amount of $49,774 for construction and other related services, both in Bassett Creek Park.
Nancy.
Did I read right that there's lighting on this bridge?
No, the lighting is the parking lot.
Oh, in the parking lot. That makes
sense.
Yeah,
so the dog park has a parking lot associated with it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So. I just thought, that'd be really nice for... Okay.
And I assume there's no lighting in the dog park.
Yeah.
There is not in the dog park there. I believe we do have a pole at the entrances of the dog park, but not actually in the dog park.
Okay. Very good. And timeline, are you thinking once this gets approved?
So the goal is to have them out there working, the spring. Road restrictions are going to come into play. So I'm assuming it'll be after road restrictions come off, so May.
May or so is when you expect completion.
So, nice. Yeah, we haven't met with them to go over the schedule yet.
Sorry to be so jumpy. I just have so many neighbors asking when that's going to be out. They're excited.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have we worked with Odessa before?
Yes, Odessa too did our pickleball courts.
Okay.
Valley Place Park, all of the sidewalks. Actually, Bass Lake Park, they did all the sidewalks there as well. So we have a great relationship with them.
And they're going to put in something to keep the urine from the small dog park into seeping into Bass Creek, right?
Well, it's grass instead of dirt. Right now it's dirt, so everything washes off. So the idea is to get some turf established in there. That way it'll infiltrate better.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anything else? Go ahead, Nancy.
I'd like to make a motion to award a contract for the dog park and pedestrian bridge improvements in Bassett Creek Park.
Thank you. Go ahead, Tracy.
I'll second.
Do you have a question? All right. You good?
Yeah. You have a question? Now is the time to ask it.
Sure.
Okay. I was just going to ask, did Odessa submit other examples of doing bridge work? Because it's kind of different than like just paving.
Well, they're the general contractor, so they'll have people on their team that can do the piles and things like that.
Okay.
All right. So we got a motion and a second. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All say nay. Motion carries. All right.
All right, it's me again.
Yep.
All right, now moving up to Grogan Park. This is one that was bid last year as well, and the bids came in very high. But it is the south parking lot of the community center. It will improve pedestrian access between the ball fields, the community center. All right, next is the location map. This parking lot is just south of the community center building. And the budget for this is $1.46 million. Some expenses have been paid already of the tune of $60,000. Our estimate on this was $1.28 million, and the low bid is $1,087,444. So it did come in under budget, or under the estimate, I should say. So GMH Asphalt Corporation is the low bid. And then there would be some professional service costs as well. So the recommendation here is to approve a resolution entering into an agreement with GMH Asphalt Corporation in the amount of $1,087,444.07 to install a new parking lot, and SRF Consulting in the amount of $24,725 for construction and other related services, both in Brogan.
Right, John.
And just to reiterate, so also with this project, there's going to be some improvements in the parking lot itself in terms of how the parking lot is laid out, in terms of like access to the building. Help me out here, handicap spots that are closer to the entrance.
So the way it's laid out, the way the current parking lot is laid out, it's kind of like your typical, let's just pave from, you know, big corner square. So this one up on the drawing here, there is a sidewalk that goes north-south right through the middle of it with the handicap parking that goes up to that. So you can park against the sidewalk, walk the sidewalk to get into the community center. Currently, we have posts in the pavement, and actually just this week, someone drove over another one. So the current design is not working all that well. So this is going to allow for better pedestrian flow.
And then one last thing. So, and also the actual drop-off location, you know, to the community center, that's going to be improved as well.
Correct. The drop-off will be actually a little bit closer to the doors.
Very good. Thank you.
That's nice.
And two exit lanes, right turn.
Correct. Two exit lanes.
Yep.
That's cool. Great.
All right. Any other questions on that?
I should point out the bid last year was, I think, $1.4 million. So this one is just a little over $1 million, or just under $1.1
million. It's nice to have the savings.
Go ahead, Nancy.
This is just a general question, not specific to this project. Just wondering, do you know or have an idea of the percentage of women-owned businesses that are considered or awarded for contracting in Crystal? Have you worked with that?
I don't know. I do know our play area company is.
Okay, great.
So I don't know about these companies.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
It'd be great data to have at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, looking for a motion. John, go ahead.
Make a motion to award of contract for south parking lot replacement in Grogan Park, the community center, project number S.0242.
All right, Nancy?
I second.
All right, all members in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries.
All right, then the next item is in regard to the Aquatic Center planning. On the screen here is just a listing of primarily the dates and real brief of kind of the process that's been gone through to date. In the memo in your packet, those are expanded quite a bit more than this. But started back almost 2 years ago when we hired US Aquatics to do an inventory of the pool and figure out what's going on over there. About a year ago, we hired the Morris Leatherman Company to do a survey of the public, a phone survey. And then last August, we hired WSB to do a public engagement process. And then throughout there were several joint Park and Rec Commission, City Council work sessions, and just City Council work sessions. The proposed next steps on this project is to build on the public engagement results and comments that we received. So we know that there were a lot of really great comments, and so we can take those and build on that. Review the feasibility of suggested improvements, provide first level of concept planning for improvements, and begin developing cost estimates for improvements at the pool. We do have a quote for professional services from WSB to begin that work. And on their team, they have Stantec. Stantec is a company, their predecessor built the pool back in the 60s. Stantec is the company that did the remodel in 2005. And then HCM is the architecture firm that works a lot on projects like this, on the building part of that. So the recommendation is to approve a resolution entering into an agreement with WSB in the amount of $24,000 to begin developing concepts and cost estimates for improvements at the Crystal Cove Aquatic Center.
Questions, comments? Okay, I have some. So when we started this two years ago, year and a half ago. I can't remember. We were talking about replacing the pool as is. Now, when we have improvements here, that's the first thing that caught my attention. Oftentimes, people use the term improvements when they're doing just a kind of like a remodel. And then that caught my attention. It was tied back to suggestions that were done during some of the interviewing process. And when I got into the detail, I'm seeing some improvements to the building itself. When we started about this, we were dealing primarily with the pool itself, and now we're expanded into the building. And to me, it's feeling a little bit like job creep. Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned about putting that into the contract for design. Next thing you know, we have $3 million for the pool. Next thing you know, we're going to be $1 million up doing all the ADA improvements and everything. Once we start something on the building, we have to start bringing it up to regular code. And you alluded to that in your narrative. So I'm thinking, can we not do job creep? I mean, that was the whole premise from the from the council, that we deal just with the pool and not deal with the other.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. So I think the number in there is about $3.5 million, and three of it was for the pool. And the other part that's been in the budget for many, many years that is to improve the entrance. And a lot of that is for security, safety reasons. It's the original entrance from the 60s, and to improve the, you know, how you pay and how you get into the building. That was the only part that was really going to get looked at, is that whole facade entrance going into the building. But it wasn't looking at the restrooms or any of the concession stands or any of those kind of things. It was really looking at that entrance. And that's been something that's been in the capital plan for, I think since it was remodeled in 05.
So you're saying this isn't job creep, this is just opportunistic?
But necessity.
Well, necessities.
Yeah, because we did have an incident last year or whatever. So, I mean, it's part of this making the pool itself more secure. It's important.
Well, I understand. I mean, it didn't talk about security. It talked about ADA improvements, and it just seemed to be a little bit beyond the scope that we initially set this journey on. So that's why I'm asking the question.
True.
When was that scheduled to, was it scheduled on the planning? I forgot when that was scheduled, the improvements to that you say were already in the budget.
Oh yeah, so the entryway has been kind of, that's been in the long-term plan for many years.
Right.
Pool has not been until recently. So that was added.
So my question is, when was it scheduled? We were obviously moving it up, right?
Yeah, the two kind of got tied just because if you're in there working on things, it made sense to tie them, do them at the same time.
Okay, so that's an, I don't know. You don't know when it was scheduled?
When the entryway?
Yeah.
Well, right now I think it's in 24 okay. with the pool.
So it was real
quick. It was in 23 with the pool. And then I think it was in, because I know it's something that since I've been here, we've talked about it every year, is how do we get this into the capital plan? And it's one of those things that keeps getting kicked out. So.
Okay. All right. So we won't have that, won't kick ADA into the bathrooms. We won't be intruding enough to make that happen. Okay. That's fantastic. Thank you.
And we'll make sure of that too. You know, if anything we're talking about, and like that's the nice thing about having an architect on the team, is they would know those answers.
Right. I mean, my initial thought was, okay, so we've got these surveys we've taken and some ideas came out for improvements. And to me, it felt like it was beyond the scope. And I understand you're bringing in stuff that was actually in the capital budget, and those other things won't be considered.
Right. And then when we're talking about improvements to the pool, you know, one of the comments is to make parts of it shallower.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of looking at all of those things. I don't think there's any desire to, you know, expand exponentially. It's kind of the same general area, but you know,
right. Because
how exactly does it fit in there?
The moment we start changing the footprint and changing, making those kind of changes, all of a sudden we're looking at
Right. And then all of a sudden your pumps aren't big enough. And,
yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Never ending. That was my concern. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Anything else?
Just a quick clarification, though. I believe, John, if we're correct, there are ADA plans for the restrooms in late 2020s. Because I know there's like $4.6 million slated for work at the pool over the next 8 years, I believe. So I think it's coming. I just want to caution that it's coming, right? It's not, it may not be part of this. I also think some serious consideration should be, we're trying to make an inclusive pool for everybody and not make the bathrooms inclusive. I think that's something to just consider as we go through this, but there is work for that building scheduled in the current long-term plan.
In an 05, some family restrooms were installed. So I think that helps with that as well.
Thank you for that. All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, looking for a motion?
I can do that.
John?
I make a motion approving a resolution in support of concept planning for the Crystal Cove Aquatic Center and surrounding area.
All right. One second.
David? I'll second that.
Thanks. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. It carries.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Usually it's public works that, you know, kind of squeezes all the money out of us, but I don't know.
Oh, he's coming.
Oh.
Maybe not so much this year. Okay. Our city manager, Adam Bell, is here to address the council in the vacancy in the office of Nancy LaRoche.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you just noted, Councilmember LaRoche notified me of her pending resignation from the City Council due to her relocation out of Crystal. The City Council held a work session immediately preceding this meeting to discuss that process. What was decided at the meeting was to go with the option B, the alternative time frame for the appointment process, and the so that will be made public starting tomorrow. With the application for the public to apply to for the candidate appointment, for the council member appointment. The question that's before the council tonight that it needs to act on are two things. One, there's a joint resolution for accepting the resignation of council member LaRoche and then declaring the vacancy. Under the city charter, the council does that, and then the council then makes the appointment. As was discussed during the workshop, the charter doesn't outline a time frame or a time requirement for that appointment process, but because that or because the remainder of the term is less than 2 years, that remainder of the term will be completed by the appointed council member, and then the seat will be up for a normal election in the 24 city election. So with that, the resolution is for you accepting the resignation and declaring the vacancy. Just one thing to note, Councilmember LaRoche said that her last day as a resident is expected to be the 25th of February. So that is the selected date of the vacancy, when it will be effective, and that will be effective at 12:01 a.m. on the 25th. With that, I stand for any questions.
So would it be offensive to vote no?
thanks. Well, speaking of voting, can I vote or do I have to abstain on this one?
I don't know.
Troy?
Mr. Mayor, I recommend you abstain.
Okay, I thought so too.
I recommend you vote no too. Yeah. Oh, man. All right, any other questions? Seeing none, looking for a motion? Therese?
I'll make a motion accepting a resignation of Nancy LaRoche and declaring a vacancy in office.
All right, looking for a second. Go ahead, Ferris.
I second that motion.
Right. All members in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay.
Abstain.
One abstention. Abstaining. We don't have to do roll call on that, do we? No.
Mr. Mayor, you typically do.
All right.
Just call. As a matter of practice.
All right. Roll call on that one.
Mayor Adams.
Yes.
Yeah. Councilmember Budashevsky.
Aye.
Councilmember Cumming.
Aye.
Councilmember Idbo.
Aye.
Councilmember Kamish.
Aye.
Councilmember Kaiser.
Aye.
Councilmember LaRoche.
Abstain.
Motion carries.
So this is your last council meeting.
Is it really?
No,
it's 2 weeks. I'll be back.
What kind of car are you driving?
One thing to note as well, Councilmember LaRoche will be able to serve out the rest of her term until the vacancy occurs. So there will be one more. The work session later this week that she had said she wants to be able to attend, but the meeting on the 21st of February, she will be still filling her seat.
Very good. All right, we have announcements. We'll read those into the record. Next, that's not a lot of announcements, is it? Next council meeting work session is Thursday. The next city council work session is Thursday, February 9th at 6:30 p.m. in the council chambers at City Hall. And you're available to attend via Zoom or in person. City offices will be closed Monday, February 20th for observation of the President's Day holiday. And then the next city council meeting is Tuesday, February 21st at 7 p.m. in the council chambers at City Hall. And a reminder that all meetings and work sessions are recorded and available for viewing and listening at crystalmn.gov. Any other announcements from the council? Nancy?
I just had a question. How is Winterload? Sorry, John. It looked fun. I was unable to attend, but I did drive by afterwards. Well, a lot of people there.
Councilmember LaRoche, it was fantastic.
Yay! You had great weather.
It was great weather. We had kids dance out there. Nice. One thing was really cool. We've gotten connected with a radio control vehicle person who has studs on the tires. And so we had one ice rink was kids running radio control cars out there. And then we had Three Rivers Park District had kick sleds out there, so people could do that. Crafts inside the building, hot chocolate. It was a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Any other fun activities, big events coming up in February or
not
family
so
fun night? Is that a thing?
Well, I'll just say that we're making the final touches on our spring summer brochure. So we're on finalizing our third and probably final draft of that. So you'll see that coming out to houses here pretty soon. So a lot of efforts being put into getting that publication put together.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Family Fun Night. Isn't that usually early March? Or have we brought that back yet with the hamster ball and all those fun inflatables inside?
I will need to get back to you on that.
Okay. Stay tuned, right?
any possibility expanding pickleball evening hours in there for the spring?
I know we have volleyball Monday. Thursday, pickleball Friday, and then a lot of pickleball Monday, Tuesday, Thursday mornings.
Yeah, I'm talking about evening.
Right.
You got it church time and then weekend. So there's no during the week. Okay. Nothing there. All right. Anything else?
Thanks, John.
All right. Looking for a motion to adjourn? John?
Did you see
that respect?
Yeah.
I'll second.
Thank you. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Have a great couple weeks.